So I got a really good quote for you, and I want you to think about this. It's talking about the two swords of self-defense. It comes from Andrew Cohen. He says, if you dare to take up the banner of enlightenment, you will be attacked from all sides. From the inside, you'll be attacked by your own mind, and from the outside, you'll be attacked by everyone else's mind. Anyone who dares to succeed automatically presents a huge threat. If true freedom is going to survive within you, you have to be willing to fight for it. You have to have a sword in each hand at all times. One sword is for your own mind, and the other sword is for everyone else's mind. You must be ready to use them. Anyone who wants to be truly free must be willing to stand alone in truth. I think it's a good one. Let me know what you think. What's up, guys? Welcome to the show. We're going mobile today. Let's talk about the two swords. All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this episode of Truth Warrior. We're going to take a little cruise and talk about a quote that I came across. It was in my notes from, I think, back in 2014. And this quote has a huge impact on me. And I think I'm going to put it in the beginning of this clip so you can see it. And I'll also post it in the description of this video. And you can also go and check it out on my Instagram. I have a lot of fun on there. It's probably my favorite social media account. So go follow me at DW Truth Warrior. Hit me up over there on Instagram. This quote is talking about the two swords that you need in order to survive Earth. Let's put it like that. And I always like to post these things and wait for the responses to try to get a feeling for where people are at. I had pretty much 100% positive reactions thus far to this, which is great. That means this resonates with other people as well. It's not just me. And that's great because I think we can all agree that there's been a major softening taking place in both men and women, especially young people. And you know what? When you're not living in accordance with truth, this word that we like to throw around, when you're not living in accordance with that, there's repercussions for that. That's how you know right from wrong. Right supports you, your life, your survival. The right promotes life and happiness and health and abundance and well-being and peace and harmony and all these things. The wrong masquerades as the thing that will help you achieve those things, but is in fact an illusion and leads you the opposite direction. The results of actions that have been taken by you or by other people that have effects in the real world. There's cause and effect. And we don't like feeling like we're a part of that. We don't like feeling helpless in that. And a lot of people, when they look at the state of the world right now, they feel nothing but pessimism. They feel depressed. They feel frightened. They feel afraid. And it's justifiably so. But I want to be here to be a voice of reason and empowerment. That's my shtick, okay? In order to navigate all of this chaos, you need to be equipped properly in your mind. You need to protect your mind. I've said it again and again. I always say it because I know I have new people tuning in all the time. That I come at this from the warrior traditions, the philosophy of warriorship, the good side of it, okay? There's a bad side of it as well, but there's the good side of it that I have teased out from studying warrior traditions and martial arts my whole life. And I feel like this is just something that's missed, yet it's one of the cornerstones of our civilization. It's one of the cornerstones of freedom. You can't have freedom unless you're willing to protect it, because every force in this world is going to turn you away from freedom. Everybody's trying to turn you into something you're not. All the influences in our society, from the education system to the media and all these different things, are trying to convert you into an ideology. They're trying to take you and say, stop thinking for yourself, memorize and repeat, do it all over again, and then you will be a happy, contributing citizen of this society. But we're seeing that no, the depression rates are rising, the suicide rates are rising. We see nothing but health crisis mentally and physically and obviously spiritually. So clearly, we've been sold a bill of goods. Okay? So how do we resurrect ourselves? That's the question. That's the question of philosophy. That's the question of the greatest literature and art, music, the best parts of culture has been trying to answer and provide solutions for people. And so this quote about the two swords, this is somebody telling you what your father should have told you. And I'm going to say father specifically because I believe that this mode of communication is very masculine. It's very direct. It's very no bullshit. This isn't about your feelings. This isn't about nurturing your emotions. There's plenty of other great things for that. This is some real world. You need to wake up and understand why you feel like a victim. And you feel like a victim because you don't have any internal power just yet. Or you have a very dim source of internal power. And so the greatest philosophy and the greatest ideas are to help lift you out of that feeling. That feeling of helplessness, of hopelessness, of nihilism, of cynicism, of self-abasement, of self-denial. It's trying to lift you out of hell. That's hell. You ask anybody that's ever felt severe fear at some point in their life or severe depression or anxiety, and we all feel it, but some people more than others and sometimes at different times in your life. And you ask them about that feeling of hopelessness, of helplessness. Ask yourself how you felt. Connect to a moment in your life where you felt disempowered, where you felt like you had no control over your own mind, let alone, obviously we all know we don't have control over other people's actions. I personally advocate for the responsibility of the individual to empower themselves. Stop waiting for the world to do that for you. If you are waiting for that, you're holding your breath for far too long and you're not gonna make it. You need to strengthen up. You need to understand the reality of the world you live in. The reality of the world you live in is not what you see on your phone. It's not what you see in your immediate social circle. It's not what you see from the television, absolutely not. Oftentimes what we're seeing in the world is a projection of what's going on in our internal world. So therefore, if you don't address the battle that's happening within you, if you don't put your own psychological armor on and protect your mind and learn how to cultivate a healthy mind, then the lens that you're looking out at the world will be polluted and you'll see the world in an incorrect way. And that has negative repercussions for you in your life. So this is why this is relevant and valuable to you. So this concept of the two swords is basically that you need two swords to guard you from the world. And yes, you do need to guard yourself. We'll talk about that. You need a sword to guard against the elements of your own mind that are actually tricking you from connecting to your true self, your internal greatness, your internal power that all the great sages and all the religious figures talked about throughout history. Your own mind can become your own worst enemy. We've heard this all the time. Bruce Lee, one of my faves, talking about how there is no opponent. All the moves you're practicing is all psychological. It's learning how to defeat the enemy within. That's all martial arts is. So when we look at this philosophically, that's what good philosophy is as well. Hence, truth warrior. That's the whole gig. So you need to become a truth warrior. So if you want to be a truth warrior and learn about the truth about yourself, learn the truth about the world, learn the truth about history, learn the truth about the mysteries, you need to equip yourself. You can't just, it's like, what's an area in your city or town where you live that is known for a disproportionate amount of crime? An area that you realize, okay, if I'm driving through here after the sun goes down, I better be careful, okay? Like even me, I live in a place where there's a lot of wildlife competing for survival around me. There's apex predators all over here. The biggest concentration of apex predators anywhere in North America is here where I live. Some of the harshest conditions of trying to go out and survive in the wilderness are right here where I live. So with the tremendous beauty and the serenity and the quiet and the fresh air and the beautiful natural resources that I'm surrounded by. With that comes a need for knowledge of the other side of nature that is trying to kill you at every possible second and disregards your feelings about the matter. It's just, that's just nature, okay? So there's what we want, what we wish, and then there's fact and there's reality. And I feel like it's the masculine principle, it's typically the father role that comes in and tells the child, hey, all that great stuff about loving your neighbor as yourself and turning the other cheek and all of these things, and you know, the golden rule, and you know, you should love the people, and you should care for people that need you, and you should go out and enjoy nature and play in the park and go hiking and go camping and have fun with your friends and focus on the positive. Oh, that's all great. But I have to also bring into the picture at some point the reality of the world, that there are dangers out there that you need to be made aware of, and you need to prepare yourself for, and you need to equip yourself properly for, and you need to protect yourself against. Because otherwise, you're living in a world of naivety that will come crashing down on you in a very severe way. And I don't want that to happen to you, so my love is tough love. And when I speak to you on this podcast or in any of the work that I do, if you ever feel like I'm direct or controversial or I'm ruffling feathers, realize that it's coming from a place of tough love. It's also coming from a place of me trying to figure shit out. That's very complex, and it's not as cut and dry as people like to make it. And we've been grossly misinformed about so many things that I always have a little red flag that goes up. Oh, okay, that's what you're being sold. That's what someone's telling you. Hold on a second. Where could this go wrong? Where could this idea go wrong? Let's look at facts. Let's look at history. Let's look at some statistics. Let's start using our brains a little bit more logically. Let's be street smart. Let's not just jump over the edge and think that you can just wish all of the negative things in the world, or wish all the negative forces that do inhabit certain people away. Because if we could do that, we would have done it already. And just look at the state of the world. Here we are, 2019. In the height of technological development, and we feel like, oh, we've already figured out all the answers to all the questions. Thank you, science. We don't need to explore anything more. There's no mysteries anymore in 2019. Hey, look, it's the information age, Dave. You have access to more information right now at your fingertips than any human being ever lived had access to. At one time, you can go and learn about any subject you want. And yet, with all this advancement and all this knowledge and all this stuff at our fingertips and all these scientific breakthroughs and all this technology, we are in a psychological and spiritual crisis, and also a physical and mental health crisis that is unprecedented. How can massive ignorance exist simultaneously with the information age? How can health problems be skyrocketing, not reducing, going up universally in an age where we have all this scientific technology and understanding of the human body and all this medical breakthroughs and all these different medical services from both the holistic and the, you know, the mainstream health system? We know so much about the body. We know so much about what's happened to the soil and the food and the air quality, and on and on and on we could go. We know so much about psychology now. We live in a post-psychological era. Our ancestors didn't have that luxury of understanding that, oh, there's this thing called consciousness, and we have experts that have spent their entire lives analyzing it like explorers and scientists trying to get in and understand what makes human consciousness tick. We need to understand these questions because, for some reason, human beings keep causing wars and killing each other and doing horrible things. And, you know, there's all these things. And yet here we are still in a crisis and a decay of epic proportions. It's that question that inspires me to go back and do some homework on what some of these great teachers were trying to warn humanity about. And one of them was this idea of internal and external self-defense. That you need to have a realistic view of the world as well as an optimistic view of the world. I'm not asking for people to become fear-based or walk around and think there's always someone out to get them. That is another extreme which produces trauma, which doesn't help anybody, okay? So we're not advocating for that. And it's so difficult to talk about these things because everybody imagines the extreme of what I'm saying and then goes, well, what about the, and I'm like, well, I'm not talking about the extreme. I'm talking about the balance point of where these two different ideas have to come to the equilibrium somewhere. And so the idea of greeting the world with open arms and love and empathy and compassion and trying to help better the world and all that, hey, that's what I'm trying to do with this show. But you also have to balance that with a good, healthy dose of realism and reality and understanding what's going on. So that's what I get out of this quote, is the one sword is for you to defend your mind against the fear and the programming and the bullshit that goes on inside your own being. So the internal struggle, one sword is dueling it out, okay? The other sword that you need to keep sharp is the sword that is there to defend you from the minds of others that are trying to get their hooks into you and convert you into them. And we have to ask this question, like, why is everybody trying to convert you into something? Why is everybody this salesman for some ideology? Why is everybody so desperate to convert everybody? Why do I do this work? Why do I try to motivate people to think about these ideas that have inspired me? Am I converting you? Am I trying to convert you into something? You know, I ask myself that question. You know, what motivates me? Well, what motivates me, honestly, is just, I think there's a healthy way to do that and there's an unhealthy way to do that. The healthy way to do that is to simply lead by example, recognize your flaws as a human being, your limitations, recognize your strengths as well, and to try to tell the truth as best as you can and inspire other people to look at some of the things and some of the ideas that contribute to the solution in the way that I see it. That's the best I can do. But the unhealthy way of doing that would be to come at you with this 100% certainty that I am right and that you must follow me and you must mimic me and you must believe everything I believe and you must repeat everything I repeat, and I convert you into some kind of, I don't know, religious zealot about these ideas. That's the extreme. So that's not what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to tell you something very basic that's universal. I don't care what gender you are, what race you are, what background you come from, what political affiliation you are. I don't care about that. You understand these two swords, this two-sword principle is key to allowing the freedom within your own soul to survive. Otherwise, it'll be crushed by the weight of all the other people around you. It'll be crushed. And that leads to disassociation, disconnectedness. There's no internal unity and harmony. So how could a person with internal chaos and allowing everybody's muddy boots to get into your mind all the time, how can that person be a positive force in society? Because they can't even be a positive force for themselves. So if you have a lot of people walking around like that, unequipped, unprepared, weak, softened, misinformed, led by everybody, not interdirected at all, not self-directed at all. There's no self-authoring. There's no self-respect. There's no introspection of any kind. There's no philosophy. It's just death walking around, the walking dead. Well, that, I believe, is something that is contributing to a lot of these areas of crisis that I was mentioning. And so for me, a simple quote like this one that we're talking about can help your mind grasp a very deep and complicated subject. And it can help you understand a little bit more about yourself and about the world. And then you can reflect on it. That's what a good quote does. Good literature, good art, good music. It makes you reflect. And when you're in that mode of reflection, that's where the magic happens. That's true therapy. That's all a therapist, by the way, if you're paying hundreds of dollars an hour to go sit on some couch and have some expert analyze you. That's all they're trying to do, is to allow you to heal yourself by simply just being a conduit for your own mind to get all this stuff out that you're dealing with and figure out these very complex problems that have rooted into your subconscious, and then they bring from the subconscious to the conscious so you can identify it and then you can heal yourself. That's all it is. So you can do that process on your own. That's all I'm saying. Is that ideology or is that just some advice? I don't know. You tell me. And so you have one sword to defend yourself against your own mind, and you have one sword to defend yourself against the minds of others. You need to draw a line in the sand and say, hey, I'm here. I'm part of society. I'm not going to go and be a recluse and divorce myself from the world. But at the same time, I do have a line in the sand that says here and no further, because I don't want your junk to pollute my side. I got my own stuff to deal with. I'm carrying my own cross. Thank you very much. I don't need your cross as well. So it's important for your own development. This is how you got to look at people. It's important for your own development that you figure out the solution to your problem instead of dumping it on other people and blaming other people. Those are the people that will constantly be in a vicious circle for the rest of their life. They'll end up being alcoholic, addicted to drugs, addicted to whatever the drugs their doctors are peddling them. And they will be disassociated from reality, and they will live inauthentic lives, and they will live eternally in a state of depression and chaos that they'll never be able to comprehend the source of, because they've been decapitated at the knees psychologically, because they've never been introduced to this idea. They've never thought about it like this. In fact, this idea that I'm telling you about psychological, spiritual, and physical self-defense is actually looked at now as toxic. It's looked at and categorized as something that is like toxic masculinity or toxic this or toxic that. And you're being taught to be hyper-feminized, no introspection. Listen to the experts. Don't think for yourself. Let other people do your thinking for you. So if you want to live your life having people talk down to you, having people take advantage of you, having people sharing their cross with you all the time to the point where you're so weighed down you can't even budge anymore, if you want to avoid that, then listen to the wisdom of this quote and practice it in your life. That's my advice. That's all. And it's the advice of this quote. You have to recognize that if you want to preserve inner sovereignty, which is so valuable to you, I can't even put it into words how valuable that is, that we as individuals learn how to protect that, because that is your humanity. That is the source of your inspiration. That is the God, the divinity within you, is freedom. Then the more you give that up and the more you decide, I don't need any borders and barriers. There's too many borders and barriers. We don't need to defend ourselves. I don't need to have a sword of truth, Dave. That sounds violent to me. That sounds like I'm out there confronting everybody and fighting everybody, and war just leads to more war and all that. You see this? You see this rather naive understanding of this principle? Because that's programming. That's programming. That's to soften you up. That's to get rid of your spine so that you stay on your knees. This society and this world wants you on your fucking knees. Do you want to live your life on your knees? Do you want to live a life of submission? Do you want to live the life of a slave? Everybody's talking about slavery. Nobody talks about the greatest slavery. Even Bob Marley, emancipate yourself from mental slavery. Oh, I missed that one. It's all about pointing fingers and laying blame and looking historically and saying, oh, that's why. What happened 500 years ago is why I fucked my whole life up and made bad choices. No, this is nonsense. You need to be the guardian of your own mind and your own body and your own property. The property we're talking about here, of what you need a border around and the barrier around and the sword to defend against, is the property of your own innate intelligence, which is yours and it's no one else's, and no one has the right. No one has the right. No matter how many intellectual, pseudo-psychological arguments are thrown at this, no one has the right to steal the content of your mind and to forcefully change you into something that you wouldn't have otherwise been, or even subtly do it through manipulation. Nobody has the right to do that. Nobody has the right to take you away from yourself. Nobody has the right to rob you of the life's most precious gift and the very reason why we have motivation to live. And if you see people losing the motivation to live, i.e. the massive amounts of suicide that are happening, then you got to go, well, why are people pulling the plug? Why? And it's because we don't have that foundation anymore of these principles. We've been softened. We've been brought to our knees. That's why. And nobody likes to live on their knees. But the thing is this now has all become repressed and subconscious. So nobody can actually identify what I'm talking to you about. And when I talk to you about it, you're probably getting your hackles up already. And that's by design. Because what I'm saying, I believe, is the truth. And the truth rubs you the wrong way. And isn't that crazy? That we live in a world and in a time where the truth rubs you the wrong way? The truth is offensive? It is offensive because the truth is that you have to take responsibility. And you have to stop passing the buck and laying the blame. And you have to learn that if you want to have sanity, if you want to have sovereignty, if you want to have abundance and prosperity, you have to guard yourself from the people that don't want you to have those things. And the moment, this is one thing in this beautiful, in this quote where he's saying, the moment you decide to become successful, the moment you decide to pursue the path of enlightenment, and success is not meant in just some materialist way. It's meant holistically in life. The moment you, because human beings are built to be successful. We're built to be successful in building that hut to protect us from the elements. We're built to be successful to build all these different things so that we can actually navigate reality and have some kind of checks and balances in the world between us and other people. And, you know, to learn how to gather and make food so we can eat, so we can survive, and on we could go. We're built for that. So to say, no, you don't need any kind of protection anymore because you've got nothing to hide. Why would you need to guard your mind? Well, if you've got something to hide, maybe you do. Privacy? What do you want privacy for? You don't need privacy unless you got something to hide. What are you hiding from me, Dave, that you want all this privacy? This is what you're hearing from people. Because these are weak people trying to tell strong people how to live like them, to recruit them to this side of just having no concept of self-love. Because you only defend and protect what you love. You only defend and protect what you love. Would you agree with me on that? Would you agree with me that if you love something, like imagine your child, okay? I love my children to a level that scares me. That if anybody ever laid harm to one of them, I would stop doing my channel. I would walk away from my morals. And I would turn myself into a juggernaut to destroy anybody that would hurt my child. I don't know. You can be like, Dave, but no, it's all about love. And no, fuck that. As a father, Papa Bear comes out and says, I love that little child so much that if anybody touches that child in an inappropriate way or abuses that child or harms that child, or God forbid they even killed that child, you have no idea what kind of a force of nature you're going to have on your hands with someone like me. No idea. And I have that, and I recommend you have that as well. Because we want to protect what we love. And if you're going to get rid of protection, you're going to get rid of love with it. If you want to tell me, we don't need barriers of entry. We don't need borders in our lives of any kind. We don't need to learn self-defense and self-preservation because that's too selfish. That's too selfish. You owe your life, your energy, your productivity, your creativity to the world, to everybody. And even though the everybody you're talking about is not maybe contributing in the same way that you might be contributing, you still owe it to them. Even people you've never met, you still owe it to them. And I just disagree with that. I owe what I determine I owe. I have my own debts. I have my debts to the great people that have inspired me to live a fulfilling, healthy life and not to go down a downward spiral into despair and depression and darkness. I owe my own debts to the people that I choose to deal with. I don't owe to everybody in some way that is impossible to even articulate, which is what you're being asked to adhere to, is this impossible utopian progressive no borders, no self-defense, just there's no such thing. It's this, you know what it is? It's willful ignorance. It's willful ignorance of the reality of the world. And because these people are ignorant to their own inner darkness, so therefore they've never integrated the shadow. So therefore there's no shadow. So when you can't identify the evil in yourself, you stop believing that evil exists. And evil, for anybody just tuning in, is just the word live spelled backwards. So anything that is anti-life, anti-progress, anti-freedom, anti-all of these things. So if you don't accept that you have that proclivity when left unchecked, that that's a force within you that can go really quickly down to the path of the dark side, let's just say, that you can succumb to your emotions, that you can succumb to bad ideas because you have built-in internal biases that have been programmed into you since you were young, probably through trauma. And that doesn't mean we don't deal with trauma. That doesn't mean we don't have compassion for people that have dealt with trauma. I've dealt with my own trauma. I've had my own challenges. I'm sure you have. But that does not give anybody grounds to say that evil doesn't exist, that danger doesn't exist, and that you shouldn't prepare yourself in a rational way for the world and have, like, if you don't control your own mind, what happens? If you don't have control over this thing we call a mind that is directing every action you make, if you don't have control over that, who has control over it? Everybody else but you. So that means you're saying, by allowing everybody else to control your mind, you are saying to the universe, and remember, the universe will give you whatever you ask it. Whatever you want, it'll give it to you. Even the shit that you don't want, that you think you want, that you don't know you're subconsciously saying you want, it'll give it to you. So if you have nothing but calamity and bad luck and bad circumstances, check that again. You're not a victim. You asked for it in some way. Or, yeah, it's a challenge that the universe and this life or God or whatever has given you to overcome, to make you stronger so that you can actually have what you asked it. If you are asking for things, I want success in life. I want my business to succeed. I want my children to grow up healthy and strong. I want to live a happy, fulfilling life that has meaning in it. Just asking that is not enough. You have to then go, the whole reciprocal action of the universe would be, yeah, okay, yeah, sure, you can have all those things, but there are some, here's a list of all the prerequisites and all the requirements that you need to fulfill in order for you to get what you want. And if you can't do it, then here's a shitload of challenge that we're going to dump, that you're going to get dumped on your lap to act as a sort of a hazing process, a strengthening process, a vision quest of some kind, to gain the strength, to strengthen the muscles mentally, physically, spiritually, in order to achieve the life that you want. So yeah, you can ask for what you want, but it doesn't just go bring and there it is, like a genie coming out of the bottle. That's why I love those stories where it's like, yeah, be careful what you wish for, man. Careful what you wish for, because you'll get exactly what you ask for. And you don't realize you're asking for things 24/7. You're asking for things all the time. By every reaction you have to other people, by the way you talk about other people, by the way you gossip about other people, by the way you critique everybody else but have no inner critique, no self-reflection whatsoever, you're getting exactly what you're asking for. Sorry to be blunt about it and finger point a little bit. Sorry, I'm getting a little dramatic here, but I'm speaking at it because I'm telling myself this too, guys. Do you realize that I have to deal with this too? That I'm not just like some perfect guy that knows all this. Like I deal with this and struggle with this as well. I'm speaking to that side of me that wants to be lazy, that wants to procrastinate, that would rather just blame everybody else, that would rather just have other people do all this shit for me, that would rather just sit back and just ask for things and have them brought to me, that would rather just assume that everybody's just perfect and I don't need to worry about learning anything about self-defense or psychological self-defense or any of these kinds of things. I would rather it be that way, but then I need to speak truth with that sword. This is me pulling the sword out and fighting the lie in my own mind that is telling me to be those things and say, no, I'm not going to procrastinate. I'm going to spend time working on personal development. I'm going to take care of my health. I'm going to eat properly. I'm going to exercise. I'm going to do things that feed positive things into my mind. I'm going to have an open mind when I look at things. I'm going to be self-critical and also take that self-critical ability to applying it to what I'm looking at when it's anything external. I'm going to learn how to be a gardener and in my mind and put the proper soil and make sure the soil has the right kind of nutrients and minerals, and then feed it, you know, water it, and make sure it gets enough sunlight, and then allow something to grow out of that mind. That's what I have to choose every single day to do. It's a choice. It's a free will choice. And by acting on your volition and by taking that choice and making that choice and being active with it, the masculine principle of action, not just talk, action. That will change your life. That will bring all those gifts to you. That will bring abundance to you. That will bring freedom to you. That will bring sanity to you. That will bring fulfillment and happiness to you. You can't skip this step. And guess what? The moment you figure this out, you are now part of the 1%. Oh, here we go. Did that ruffle some feathers? It definitely ruffled feathers when I thought of it like that for me. This talk about the 1%. And yeah, there's always people that cheat their way into those positions. But I'm talking about the 1% of people that are done talking. The 1% of people that are done complaining. The 1% of people that want something more for their lives and want to make a positive impact in the world realistically. The 1% of people that actually think for themselves and make the choice every day to put the handbrakes up when it comes to everybody trying to brainwash you into some new thing, to say, okay, hold on, let me think about what you've just told me. Let me think about what I've just seen. Let me actually think about it. I don't want to have my marching orders given to me. I don't want to have scripts given to me. I don't want a teleprompter following me around everywhere telling me what to think all the time and how to respond. I don't want to be a zombie robot. I want to be a human being. A human being. Being. The act of being. So you have to act on these things, and you will. So what I'm saying is, if you become part of that 1% of people that actually develop a good work ethic, that actually are honest with themselves, that self-analyze, that self-reflect, that develop a personal philosophy, that have true morals and virtues, that make a choice to make this life a journey, an epic journey, an adventure, that choose not to live in fear, that choose not to be worried about what other people think about you. Like, what is that? Who cares? Let other people, why, forget about your part in that. What about their part? Why are other people so consumed with what you're doing anyways? Why don't they focus on their own stuff? You got enough shit to focus on, my friends, with your own shit, than to go and start worrying about my shit. You know what I mean? You got to have that understanding. And when you do that, you will start to become successful. This is the thing. It's magic. It's like, here's the recipe. I just gave it to you. That's the recipe for success in any area. And now you go, oh, great. Thanks, Dave. This is great. I didn't hear this growing up in school, or I missed this at Sunday school, or man, my parents weren't around, so they didn't tell me this shit. And I didn't get it from Jay-Z and all the other celebrities I like. So this is great. First time I heard this. This is awesome. All right, off we go. And you start doing all these things. You start taking personal responsibility and living a life, self-authoring and personal development every day, and doing activities that are healthy and these kind of things. All of a sudden, you're going to start to be successful. You're going to start to find motivation that you never felt before. You're going to start to have ideas you never had before. You're going to start to have the fire in the minds of men that all the great sages talked about. And you're going to be like, whoa, this is amazing. I'm all of a sudden, my shit's turning around. My life's turning around and I'm feeling great. And then something's going to happen to you that is going to completely change your entire view of the world and of history. And all of a sudden things are going to start to make sense. You know what's going to happen to you? The crab in the bucket is going to happen to you. Everybody out there that used to cheer you on when you were on your way up and was supporting you and wishing the best for you will turn on you. And this is something that I think every successful person has to go through. It's part of the hazing process. It's a reality check that only the 1% of people that have done it will know what I'm talking about. If you haven't had this happen and you're like, Dave, I don't get it. It's because you're not there yet. You'll get it when you're there. Okay. It's like 1% of people walk into my dojo and become black belts. They stick around long enough through all the challenges and all the blood, sweat, and tears I'm going to put them through, and they then eventually become black belts. Less than 1% become that. So they suddenly realize, wow, there's this enlightenment moment. Oh my God, I understand now. I see things for what they are because I know what it took to get here, and I feel so, but now I don't fit in anymore. Black belts don't fit in with the rest of the world. People that use their whole brain don't fit in with the rest of the world. People that are healthy don't fit in with the rest of the world. People that are not drowning in depression and alcohol and drugs and shit, they're realizing they don't fit in with the rest of the world. And so you develop this huge pang of empathy. You go, oh my God, like now I understand the need for empathy and compassion. But I also understand this warrior tradition that was warning you. I understand that there's a need now to protect yourself from the world, which will try to tear you down, because envy kicks in. Instead of, wow, look at that example of that guy. I used to know that guy. He was down in the dumps. He didn't have a job. He was a loser. He was angry. He was on all this medication. He was fat and lazy. And now look at him. Wow, what an inspiration. You'll get that reaction out of maybe 10% of people, maybe, if you're lucky. But most people, well, they might even say that on their face, but deep down they're like, fuck that guy. That fucking guy thinks he's so good. Yeah? You know what I'm talking about. You've probably been that person. I've been that person too. See, I've been on both sides. That's why I know this shit. But now I'm on the other side where I'm like, all right, here I am trying to better myself, live my life, make a good go of it before I die. Because one day, you're going to die. Could be tomorrow. Could be 100 years from now. Nobody knows. And we can all sit here and debate what happens after death, but that doesn't matter because nobody really knows. And so you have this crack at this life. Okay? This is all you got to work with. You got 70 summers, 80 summers if you're lucky. Maybe, well, if you're super healthy and you go crazy, maybe 100, maybe. But instead of wasting time waiting for the world to fix itself so you can finally go out and pursue your dreams and your life and find some passion and meaning, don't do that. Don't hold your breath so long. It's not gonna work. You'll die before you even die. So the recommendation is, instead, no, you've got to armor yourself. Now, don't armor yourself to the point where you're completely cut off from the world. That seems to be like, when I started talking about this and I posted and I saw some comments, I started to get that feeling. People are like, well, the moment you start fighting the world, the moment you start fighting with swords, it just creates a systematic domino effect of violence, and it's the wrong way to approach. We need to feel ourselves more, and we need to have more love and compassion and hugging. No. Hold on a minute. You're misunderstanding. The reason that you are protecting your mind and your body and your spirit is because you love your mind and your body and your spirit. So if you're a person that doesn't love your mind and your body and your spirit, then don't educate me on, or anybody, please, don't spread this virus to other people of how they need to stop preserving the things that they love. If you go to bed every night and you lock your doors before you go to sleep because you love yourself, you value your life, you value the life of your loved ones that lived in your home with you, you value the property that you have earned by applying yourself, your body, your mind, your spirit, then you will lock your doors because you realize that there are people out there that do not share that value, and they feel entitled, and they don't have any empathy, and they think criminally, and they will steal your shit, and they will kill you if they can. There are those people out there. Now, again, the other extreme is to think that everybody's like that. So we're not talking like that either. We're just having a really grown-up conversation right now that you probably should have had with your father at some point. And if you didn't, I'm sorry that that happened to you, but now's your chance to hear that message from these great thinkers of the past that will give it to you, that will say, all right, let me give it to you straight. There's a lot of beautiful things in the world, a lot of amazing experiences to be had, But there's also a lot of crazy evil shit in this world as well. There's a lot of dark shit going on too. So, and there's a lot, and even the forces of nature, you can call that dark and evil, that, like, you know, animals might want to kill you, or, you know, the hurricanes might take your village away or your city away, or tornadoes might tear your whole community to shreds, or, you know, the power might go out because we might get hit with some solar flare or some shit. Forgetting all that, just the malevolence within other human beings that will try to manipulate you, will try to steal what's yours, they will try to steal your energy, they have no internal energy, they're self-murdered people, they're gonna come around and they're on the hunt. They're bounty hunters, and you have the prize. You're walking around, imagine you're walking around every day with $1 million cash on your person. You've got it all stuffed in your underwear and all up inside your jeans and your jackets, and it's coming out of your freaking ears. You walk around with $1 million cash. How's that gonna go? You go walk down like some street in New York or Toronto or in the city where you live. Go to that place, that area that you just know is ridden with crime and poverty, and just go walk around with dollar bills hanging out of everywhere. And you got $1 million, and start telling people, "I got $1 million on me." Are you telling me that you're gonna do that without? Well, first of all, it's a ridiculous idea, but just bear with me. But are you going to tell me that you're going to do that without any kind of protective action? Like, without any thought to the fact that you should probably, I don't know. First of all, you shouldn't do that. But second of all, if you did, just for the sake of argument here, that people are just going to leave you alone? Huh? Go walk around in Brazil, the streets of Brazil, or Mexico, or just go anywhere else. Just go up the road. Go to the mall, walk around with dollar bills falling out of your jeans, and tell me that you don't need to protect yourself. And I'm using money as an example because that's what we're all obsessed with. But of course, the true value is where? The true money, the true $1 million or more is where? It's your mind, it's your spirit, it's your individuality, it's your sovereignty. That's the money, that's the value that you're selling out every single day by saying, "I don't need to protect myself. I don't need to understand the reality of the world. I don't need to lock my doors. We don't need any borders of protection. We don't need to think logically. You don't need to learn martial arts for self-defense. You don't need to learn how to shoot a gun and how to proof and safe a fire weapon. You don't need to understand the basics of what happens to your home when a fire starts and how quickly your entire home can be consumed in flames, and how quickly that if, you know, even a small fire in your kitchen can cause everybody in your home to pass out from smoke inhalation. You don't need to equip yourself with the basic knowledge of how to survive if you're going to go camping in the wilderness, you know? So to me, if the only reason people are out there telling you to disarm yourself, and not just the whole gun debate, for example, is just, I think that's an archetypal debate for this real internal debate that's going on, which is that it's all just open now. There's no need for protection. Protection is associated with protecting territory, and nobody owns any territory because it just all belongs to the animals who also claim and protect territory. Okay, but nothing belongs to anybody. There's no property, so there's no value. So because there's no value, there's no need to protect anything. And that's what's going to lead to world peace. Yay! And of course we know that's not true. And of course we can logically understand what I'm saying, I hope. And if you understand what I'm saying and you can feel it and you've had your own experience to draw on in this regard, then I hope you will read this quote and you will think about it and you will apply it in your life about the two swords. And I hope you will understand that by learning to defend yourself and by learning to put up boundaries with people and protect your mind and your sovereignty, it's not because you hate other people. It's not because you're trying to live a pessimistic view of the world. It's not because you just assume everybody's out to get you and there's a boogeyman around every corner. That's not. It's because you value yourself. You value your life, you value your mind, you value your sovereignty. That's why I focus so much on self-esteem, is because if you don't have any level of self-love, then you will be one of those people walking around trying to tell people that they shouldn't have any self-love and they shouldn't protect what they value. Whether it's an idea, whether it's your physical body, whether it's your possessions, anything, whether it's your family members, whether it's people that are close to you, it doesn't matter. And I just feel like that goes to a bad place. And when that idea becomes dominant in a culture and in a society, we blow this up to the collective level, it falls in on itself to a level of disaster that is incalculable. Incalculable. It has failed numerous times. When this idea, this one idea that seems harmless on its face, gets converted into massive, collective, ideological possession, that actually can become a weapon for the predators amongst us that would love nothing more than for you to believe that. All those pedophiles and serial rapists out there that everybody's talking about, all the murderers, all the thieves, whether they're on the rank and file level or whether they're up on the elite level, they would love for you to just drop your guard completely and go, oh, this is freaking hunting season, open season. This is great. It's like vampires. Imagine vampires existed, okay? And they're all walking amongst us, like real, literal vampires. And we all knew it at one point that there's vampires walking around, but then we all just collectively said, you know what? We should start feeling sorry for vampires. I mean, they need to eat too, right? Like, so, yeah, a couple people gotta go. I'd rather just be politically correct and not offend all the vampires. So, just everybody's gotta drop their guard and stop being so vampirophobic. Because how do the vampires feel? Like, wow, we should really change our ways. What the fuck do you think would happen if that was the dominating idea? You can't say, like, evil forces, let's just call it evil forces just for some archetype for you to understand what I'm talking about here. They would love nothing more than for you to be ignorant of their existence. Like, there's that old quote, like, the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist. That's the time in which we live. And no, I'm not talking about some guy with horns and a pitchfork and a forked tail. I'm talking about a principle, the evil. The opposite of life, the forces of evil, the forces that are trying to destroy life for their own selfish purposes. Those are the real selfish people. What could be more selfish than to be a thief? What could be more selfish in a narcissistic way than to be a thief? To steal someone's light, to steal someone's mind, to steal someone's dignity, to steal someone's work, to steal someone's labor, to steal someone's property, to steal someone's life, to steal someone's sense of self. What could be more self-centered than that? And yet the opponents to that are saying, no, in order to equip yourselves against that virus that does exist in the human mind, that there's a potential for everybody to go down that path. And some people do make the choice to do that. In order to equip yourself against it, you need to be realistic about the fact that you have that natural proclivity as well, and that you need to do things to the sword of the internal sword, combating that. And it is a combat. Don't make any bones about that. It's a combat. And then you need a sword to combat the fact that other people that don't do the internal combat are going to take that shit out on you and victimize you, because they've already victimized themselves. This thing is a virus. It needs to start to spread to other people. So that's why you need the two swords. And the thing about sword fighting, this final point here, because just to dispel this whole myth that because Dave's talking about sword, he's talking about encouraging war and violence. Look, the idea of the sword, think about its structure, all right? There's many different kinds of swords, but just think of a typical sword. You have a handle, you have a hilt of some kind to protect you from, you know, running off your own hand if you had to impale somebody with it or fight with it. So there's the practical way that the technology of the sword was designed. And it's used for what? Yeah, it's used for killing people, right? It's like the scene from Zorro with Antonio Banderas, and he's like, do you know how to use that thing? And he's like, yeah, the pointy end goes to the other man. Easy. But then Zorro learns, there's a whole system of knowledge and science and practice that goes into the sword, because with the sword comes power. And with the sword comes power. So this is an analogy for with knowledge comes power. Okay, the sword of the mind. And actually the pyramid, the triangle, is called the blade. It's the blade, right? So that's the masculine, the blade, the action. And the sword of the mind is just, it's a philosophical rendition of the physical sword, which when in the hands of the protector, when in the hands of the moral one, within the hands of the hero, the heroic one, would use it to dispel the forces that would destroy the innocence and the beauty and the goodness of the world. So you would then be feeling rather comforted knowing that the right people had the knowledge of the sword, and that with the knowledge of the sword, as when the samurai tradition, the martial art tradition, came a code of ethics. So the reason a code of ethics came with the sword was because obviously you're dealing with a weapon of power. But notice that they still developed an art of killing with the sword. They still develop an art of combat with the sword. Why would they do that? Why would they do that? In one sense, you're like, Dave, it's a contradiction. In one sense, these warrior traditions, martial art traditions, are training me how to absolutely demolish somebody. And yet they're telling me not to go out and demolish people. I don't get it. It's because of what I'm telling you. You don't want the wrong people to have the sword. The sword can be used as a tool for good or good for evil. That's what's great. It's a double-edged sword, is it not? It can be used for good, it can be used for evil. On a typical medieval broadsword, you have one blade, so a double-edged, you have one edge facing you and you have one edge facing the world. When you pull the sword back to strike, you gotta be careful you don't chop your own nose off, right? So if you think about this as an analogy, that double-edged sword is a great analogy for the two blades. The blade that's facing you at all times to keep you in check, to keep you from losing grip of reality, to keep you in a level of discernment and awareness. And then there's the blade that faces outward, that defends yourself against those that don't have the virtue and morality. They come from a place of greed. And they come from a place of theft, and they come from a place of killing off all of their compassion and empathy. So therefore, you need warriors. You need the right kind of warriors to stand and defend against that. So to try to live in a world and in a time where you hear a lot of people saying, "Well, we don't want any war. All war is bad," which nobody wants war. Nobody wants to go to war and die and kill. Nobody wants to do that. What would motivate people to do with that? There's many motivations, but I would say on the motivation level of this person that is moral, they are defending what they love. Themselves, their life, their family, their community, their village, their nation, their country, their idea. And that's why martial arts is taught from a defensive posture. There's strategies where you know, maybe offense is better, but I'm talking about in general, the philosophy of martial arts is to respond to force with the right amount of force. Not to be a pacifist and just put your hands up and get your head chopped off, but to fight back, to value your life, to value the things that you love, to the point that you're willing to die to protect them. That's what we are as human beings. And without that, and this is on the physical plane, let's talk about psychological. If you lose that battle internally, you will stop loving and valuing yourself. You won't recognize that you have Aladdin's cave within your own being, that the kingdom of heaven is within. And then you realize, well, the kingdom of heaven within me is not worth preserving. So therefore, I have no border policy. So everybody can come in and take what they want. And they can take your kingdom of heaven and plunder it to the point where there's nothing left. And then you collapse in on yourself like a dying star. And look around at everybody's faces right now and tell me that that has not been an epidemic that nobody wants to talk about. Everybody's talking about all this other shit that doesn't matter, trying to divide everybody, get everybody killing each other in a wrong way, starting the wrong kind of war, instead of focusing on the war we should all focus on, which is the war that's happening within ourselves. But at the same time, approaching the world with the realistic perspective that not everybody thinks like that. Not everybody operates from virtue like that. Not everybody understands the gift they have, and therefore they cannot appreciate the gift that is in other people. So if you want to talk about the source of compassion, if you are self-murdered, if you are self-ignorant, if you are mentally obese and you have no internal health, then your compassion is fake. It can only be fake. It can only be virtue signaling. It's not real virtue, it's virtue signaling. There's a difference. If you had real virtue, you wouldn't have to signal it to everybody every 2 seconds and talk down to everybody that doesn't have your version of virtue. If you had true virtue, you would use it for the benefit of your own life and recognize then that you now have empathy and compassion for other people because you've recognized you have Aladdin's cave within you, they have Aladdin's cave within them, well, therefore I have empathy. But if you don't have that, that's what creates the psychopath, the sociopath, the narcissist, is the person that doesn't have true love and true value and recognizes the divine within all things. So there was some banners on in one of my main dojos growing up, and they were in Japanese, and on one wall it was talking about how to never draw your sword in anger. It was just that's my loose translation of it from Japanese, but it was like, never draw your sword in anger, don't seek violent life, don't start war, like all that kind of stuff. Like it almost sounded like a very pacifist sort of perspective. And then on the other wall was the continuation of the scroll where it said, but keep your sword sharp. Keep your sword sharp. And so what I want to add to that beautiful message, because that's just a realistic view of the world. And who better to educate you about the reality of the world than those that have stood on the battlegrounds of history and seen what humans are capable of? Do you want a bunch of guys sitting there on their desks writing books? Or do you want people that have experience dealing with evil and combat and war and death and defending yourself against someone that's trying to tear your head off at all costs? Like, I would rather be educated about the reality of the world. Not that there's anything wrong with the people that there's a role for everybody. There's a role for the thinker and the author and the musician and the people that make things and the construction workers. And there's a role for all these things. But I would like to learn about how to defend myself and what news could be reported back to me about how quickly human beings can go to a level of barbarism that is unimaginable by the average person. I would rather learn about that to equip myself. I would rather learn about that from the warriors who stood and saw what human beings can do. I would rather learn about that from them, the experienced ones. So that's why I value this warrior philosophy, is because it's valuable. It's not the only thing. There's so many other beautiful, we're multidimensional. We need to water our garden in our mind and from many different sources and in different ways. But make no mistake about it. If you want to live a free, happy, healthy, and abundant life, put your armor on, sharpen these two swords, learn how to use them. And there was also just final thing. Sorry, I said final thing already. This is the final thing, is that when I studied a little bit of the katana and the boken and the Japanese sword, and this is pretty universal in all the sword fighting systems, is that they kept their sword as sharp and as clean and as efficient as possible. Not because they're like, hey man, check out how this thing will kill people. It's going to kill people more efficiently than the other thing. It was because they felt empathy for their opponents and their adversaries. And they didn't want to stab them with an old, rusty, dull blade because that was more painful. It would take longer to die. There would be more suffering involved with that. So they would keep that last 6 inches of the blade especially extremely sharp. Also flexible, you know, so that when you do the kill shot, you know, and God forbid you're ever in that situation, and we hope we never have to do it, but if you did, and there are times where you have to, sadly, that it would have been a benevolent action. It would have been the right use of the sword. And you can read the Hakaguri and the Book of Five Rings and, you know, the writings of people like Naoto Musashi. You can read stuff out of the Greek Odysseys and the Greek philosophers, warrior philosophers. You can read this from African tribes that have written stuff on warrior philosophy. You can read this from all over, where they, if you make the weapon as effective as possible to make it as humane as possible. And of course, not just for indiscriminate killing, but to learn how to, you know, you're discriminate in when you use these weapons. So with great power comes great responsibility. There's nuances to all of this. There's extremes to all of this. This is why it's very complex, and this is why it's misunderstood. But make no mistake about it. You have to sharpen the sword within your mind, internally and externally, because of obviously the world that we live in. I hope you never have to be in actual physical combat, you know, and defending yourself. But you're going to be in physical, you're going to be in psychological and spiritual combat every day of your life. So don't be naive. Keep your sword sharp. Keep your powder dry. And I'll catch you next time, guys. I hope that helps. Let me know what you think. Cheers.